Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. So we got the Super Bowl set, the Pats and the Rams, and the play of the day, really. I mean, there were some controversial plays in both games, and there were some certainly some plays in the Pats Chiefs game, which all benefited the Patriots, would you say?
Yeah.
There were some replays where you're thinking, and every single one, the Edelman play on the muffed punt, the Hogan catch where it looked like he may have dropped the ball, they seemed to all go the Patriots' direction.
The Chiefs did get a late pass interference call on their second to last drive, I want to say.
That was a good call, though.
Yeah, that went their way. But you're right. I mean, everything else went the Patriots' way, including the most ridiculous roughing the quarterback call,
yeah,
which was awful, and it was 2nd and 7. So if that call, and it was a late flag, if I remember correctly.
It was.
So if that's not called, it's 3rd and 7, and maybe, dare I say, Chiefs can get off the field, but what are you going
to
do?
I think people should know by now not to touch Tom Brady. I mean, isn't that kind of like the rule of thumb?
It was ridiculous, though. It was so bad, and then Tony Romo was like, well, you know, it's going to happen. And he kind of stops, and Nance is like, Tony, what were you saying? Where was the penalty?
By the way, you're right.
I mean, the one that was the worst was the pass interference and the helmet that was not called.
But so here's the play, and everybody knows it by now. 3rd and 10 with 1:45 left in the NFC Championship game. Breeze throws the ball to Tommy Lee Lewis. I was about to say Tommy Lee Jones. Great actor. Tommy Lee Lewis. And Nickel Robey Coleman, the defensive back for the Rams, arrives before the ball arrives, knocks helmets with Lewis, knocks him down to the turf. I mean, he goes sprawling down. I'm sure you've seen the meme that's gone around on the internet, but basically Hulk Hogan flying into him.
Right.
Hulk Hogan would have nothing on Nickel Robey Coleman in terms of the ferocity of the contact made. And as a result, the ball is, it's incomplete. It's 4th and 10. The Saints have to kick a field goal there as opposed to getting a 1st and goal and at the very least milking more time off the clock, possibly getting a touchdown, which you think would have put the game away, or maybe getting it all the way down to maybe 10 seconds left and kicking a field goal to essentially win the game and go to the Super Bowl championship. I mean, I don't know if it's the worst call I've ever seen. I mean, there's a lot of calls that are going to be up there, but in terms of magnitude, time, and place, I can't think of one that I've seen that's worse.
No, people will bring up the Lions call in Dallas, obviously, where they picked up the flag.
And by the way, I hate seeing Hitchens march around the field for the Chiefs now. That's the same guy, you know?
That is,
who ran into Pettigrew.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, you're fair about that. But it's that call was brutal. It was more brutal yesterday than it was for the Lions, because the Lions had more time afterwards.
Yes.
But let's not pretend that the Saints didn't have an opportunity still to win the game in overtime, and then Breeze ends up throwing the pick. But, and it wasn't his fault. I get it. With that being said, that call was awful. It was, and I'm not one for officiating and blaming officiating, because I always think you have your chances and just be better than the adversity that hits. But yesterday, that wins you the game. Because you're right.
It's the game.
There's 1:50 left, gives you a 1st down. You're able to run the ball. You kick the field goal. There's no timeout left, and you go to the Super Bowl. So the other thing, too, that the Saints did not help themselves, and tell me if you agree, that last drive, they're throwing way too much. There was a 9-play drive results in a field goal. They only ran the ball twice. They should have ran the ball more. I understand you have to score. I understand you have to make your way down the field, but you did not do a good enough job, I thought, of killing as much clock as possible.
I guess, but if the refs call, I have a hard time blaming a team for how they approach a game or approach a drive and say, oh, they should have taken more time off the clock when they made the play. I mean, yes, you do not know 100% that Lewis is going to catch that.
100%.
I get that. But, I mean, he probably was because Breeze threw, as he normally does, a virtually perfect pass. It was right there. He probably would have caught it, and he would have gone out of bounds perhaps. And it does raise the question of whether or not there should be replay on penalties. You heard Sean Payton allude to it there in the cut we heard coming into the segment with Aaron Andrews. And Stoney and I have brought this up. Gov and I have brought this up. I have no problem with maybe two plays a game where you get two penalty challenges per game.
Well, that was in the final 2 minutes. So,
well, and then I was thinking the same thing. Is there a booth review of penalties in the final 2 minutes? Now, I understand that because I was having this debate with my brother-in-law because we were watching the game together last night, and he said, but you know, they do say you could call a penalty on every play, and I get that. But that's why I think it would have to be coaches use their challenges, and if you use it and it gets overturned, then you get to keep the challenge. And if you use it and it's not a penalty, you lose a challenge. Simple as that.
100%. It's almost like, and if you watch the Wings, every time the Wings give up a goal, they're always reviewing it for offsides. Because yes, a lot of the time, it is offsides and it's always that close. Your brother-in-law is right. There is a penalty, it seems like, in every play.
Right.
But obviously, if you had that chance, that would have been overturned. That would have been pass interference or helmet to helmet or whatever you want to call it.
And you can sit here and say, oh, it's a judgment call. So how can you overturn a judgment call? Well, when a judgment call...
Some you can.
Well, yeah. But when a judgment call is clearly missed, as it was in this particular instance, again, I would think you'd have some sort of a Pereira type or a whatever back in New York, you know, or maybe you'd have three officials, three game officials. Either they work for the league or they used to work for the league or whatever. And they're sitting in a room in a booth at a studio in New York or in Chicago or wherever. And then you go back to them. And if two of the three overturn the call, then it's overturned.
100%. But here's the problem, though. And listen, you see a play like yesterday and everybody's like, oh, my God, it's got to change. And it does. And I would have no issue with what you're talking about. But you know it's going to go against the team. Like, it's going to be a judgment call that seems like a 50-50 no call or a call that will get overturned, mm-hmm. and it's going to screw a team the other way as well. You know what I mean? So I understand what happened yesterday. Refs didn't do their job.
Right.
They totally botched the call. But I think it gets real dicey when you start to say, well, you know what? Everything's reviewable, especially judgment calls and pass interference because...
But not everything. Again, you get two per game. And
yeah,
if you challenge one...
under those two is reviewable.
Sure.
Yeah.
But again, much like with you know, replay of inbounds, out of bounds, catch, no catch, the coach has to say to the official, I'm reviewing this play for blank. You can't just say review the play and
100%
say, oh, wow, somebody's holding on the right side of the offensive line. All right, 2-4.
Could you imagine reviewing a holding, by the way? Could you imagine? The game happened so quick. I guarantee you there was holding right there. Boom. Go review that.
By the way,
turn into a mess.
Jim Joyce just texted in saying, I thought it was a good no call. Now, whenever there's a controversial call in a game, it's very easy to say, to basically bail the refs out by saying, well, it shouldn't have come down to that, right? I mean, like when Bill Buckner gets thrown up as the GOAT, and I don't mean the good GOAT, the bad GOAT for the 86 Red Sox, a lot of people will say it's the bullpen's fault for letting it get to that point. It never should have gotten to that point. And when we talk about the famous Lions-Cowboys game and the fact that they picked up a flag inexplicably, and then Dez Bryant walked onto the field with his helmet off to shout at the referees, and yet somehow the Lions ended up on the short end of the stick there. It is pointed out that, number one, Sam Martin could have maybe punted the ball further than 6 yards. The Lions' defense could have held, and the Lions' offense had another chance win that game to come back down the field, and Stafford could have had his moment.
Well, don't forget, too, 6 total points in the final 3 quarters. And Jim Caldwell went for it or decided to punt on 4th and 1 from like the 49.
Right. So now
there was a lot of decisions you can question in that one.
So on the ticket text, for example, right now we got this text. The Saints had a 13-0 lead after 15 minutes. Finish the game and that play doesn't matter. Yeah, but you know what? The games are 60 minutes.
100%. It was the wrong call.
And if you get down to that, you know, if I were a Saints fan, I would be livid right now and I'd be despondent. And if somebody came up to me and said, you guys led 13-0, you should have won that game anyway, I'd punch them directly in the face. I mean, I would.
You'd probably go to jail for assault, but yes.
Well,
I'm, what are you going to do? Although it is New Orleans.
Have you seen these arms? You really think a punch from me is going to do anything?
You got reach.
I have reach, but with no power behind it, what good is reach?
That's a good question. So, I don't know. Try it out on Paul, see what happens.
Should we? Okay,
yeah,
we'll do that.
At the break. Yeah.
It was definitely pass interference, says another ticket texter, but for a league that claims it cares about player safety, how is the helmet-to-helmet not called? It should have been both.
So true.
I mean, you can say there were two penalties on the play. One was pass interference, one was helmet-to-helmet. I mean, they both were penalties. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, can you feel both ways? Like, it was an awful call. It was a brutal call. But I do feel a little bit of what some of the ticket texters say, that the Rams, A, still had a chance. I'm sorry, that the Saints still had a chance. And let's not forget, it was 13-0. And then the Rams decide to do the fake punt, which was brilliant.
Yeah,
right?
Johnny Hecker.
Absolutely. Yeah. It works out. And they end up scoring a touchdown, I believe, on that drive. And that probably saved the game for them. So it was a bad call. I think we all get that. But they still could have won the game. I just hate blaming everything 100% on officiating, because it lets the team off the hook as well for the other 59 minutes and 50 seconds.
I know, but the implication there is that you have somehow played a perfect game. And
sure,
of course, every football game is going to have moments in them. But when it's such a blatant call, and it comes at such a brutal point in the game or vital point in the game, it is going to have some more magnitude to it. I mean, I just don't know how you can have two incidents, I guess I would say,
sure,
in the same play. Pass interference, where clearly the guy gets there first, and helmet to helmet, and not a single official does anything. Now, I hadn't seen this anywhere until I read it, I think, on ESPN this morning. And that is that Nickel Robey Coleman, the guy who the offending party, if you will, for the Rams, he said that one of the officials told him that he thought the ball was tipped. So that's why the ball. I mean, I don't go watch a replay. It's not even the ball, like the ball came even one millimeter close to being tipped.
Right. If it was tipped, all bets are off. It doesn't matter.
Well,
but yes,
all bets are off in terms of the pass interference, but bets shouldn't be off in terms of the helmet to helmet. Another ticket text, 97136. Is this the NBA? Saints wide receiver gets smoked in the head, no call. Brady doesn't get touched, blow to the head.
I just think they made up for it in game two. Obviously, the officials decided to say, you know what? They missed it in game one, so we'll be a little extra cautious and we'll give that rough in the pass around Brady in game two.
Yeah.
God, that was such a pathetic call. They both were. Obviously, one had huger implications than the other.
The Jamie and Stoney Show, 97.1 The Ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.